Let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word tonight. As I continue to preach in your hearing, make America godly again, and then she will be great again. Part 12, Praying Through the Bible, message number 373. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I believe that if God's people, believers in Christ, would spend more time praying for our government officials and all other people instead of engaging in the affairs of this world and life, and fighting and marching and accusing and being accused and fussing. If God's people would kneel down somewhere or sit down somewhere or get into whatever position and pray more for the people, things would work out far better. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions. God is telling us what we ought to do. But we don't want to do this. We want to vote. We want to march. We want to get behind our champion. And we want to stare down others and dare others to mess with us or our champion. We want to pull off the red hats and throw them to the ground. We want to criticize. That's what we want to do in the flesh, so many of us who name the name of Christ, instead of praying. That's not exciting, but it's far more powerful and far more effective. And giving of thanks be made for all men. When was the last time you sat down somewhere and you just looked back and thank God for how he's blessed you over the past 30, 40 years, 20 years, 10 years, how he has brought you through, how that you're still standing. Verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In other words, God wants men to pray, but without the sin. He wants them to be in a position to get their prayers heard and answered. But notice verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. And there are hundreds of women right now rolling their eyes, okay, here we go, I can't stand him. He never prophesied good to me. I don't know why you people listen to him. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Nothing has changed. In spite of the Me Too movement, nothing has changed in God's economy. I know you don't like it, but it's still the Word of God. It's still true. And all God is saying here is that women ought to be humble, meek, and quiet. As the Bible says in other places, and most men don't preach on it because they're controlled and dominated by the women in their lives. I have many women in my life, but I don't let them dominate me. I have daughters, I have a wife, I have a mother who is very strong, but I don't let them dominate me. And you shouldn't either. God does not want you to. And guess what? They don't want you to let them do that. I know that shocks you, but they don't want it. They do it because they, in the words of Bill Clinton, because they can. But deep down in their heart, they don't want to have their way. They don't want to rule over you. They don't want you to mistreat them, but they don't want you to rule. They don't want to rule over you, man. It's not in them to do that. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. And I hate to tell you this, some of you men out there who are constantly trying to run around and appease your wife or appease some woman in your life that's dominating you and controlling you, manipulating you. I want you to understand something now, because that wife of yours will either submit herself to you, to God, to Jesus, and to you, or she'll find somebody to submit herself to. It has happened many times. So, you might as well be what God called you to be and do what God calls you to do. And you'll be amazed at the change you'll see in her. Is a lot about how you carry yourself and whether or not you mean business about what you say. But be that as it may, let's have a word of prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for this past busy day, but productive day and good day serving you and getting some things done that needed to be done to help the ministry. And Lord God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for traveling mercies and your grace and your love towards such wretched people as we are. Have mercy and grace, Lord, upon us, all of us, as your believing Christians, and for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us afresh and anew, and fill us all with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit, not only the preacher, but the people in the pew. And Lord, help us not only to preach your holy word, but to hear it and to love it and to cherish it and to obey it and to apply it to our lives. For Lord, you have told us that in these last days many people will not be interested in sound doctrine, and we have found that to be exactly right and true, of course. But that does not mean you want us to stop preaching it. You want us to preach it, preach your gospel and your truth in season and out of season. And there's power even in that. And we thank you for that power. There's power in the gospel, power in your holy word. We praise you, Lord, and thank you for the thousands of folks. Lord, I am told over 8,000 people came last week. And more than that, when you count all of the other platforms, we thank you for that. And we thank you for these individuals, these people. Some, Lord, who don't agree with me. Some who hate me, but they somehow come back to hear some other crazy thing I might say that is so contrary to what's going on in the church today. And Lord, I know that you love them. And I know that deep down they love me and I love them. And I pray that you'll bless them. I thank you, Lord, for those who grudgingly give me an amen or a like or send a nice comment and trying to be an encouragement as I'm crying out in the wilderness. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless them and use them for your glory, praise, and honor. We pray in the end that lost souls would be saved, Christians would be revived. Lord, humanly speaking, Lord, I don't believe most of the women listening to me tonight are going to do what your holy word says here. But it's my job to preach your holy word, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And if just one would see the error of their ways, and see the power of doing it your way, because there's great power in doing life your way. And we will give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. Save that one soul that's near as hell. And Lord, this message and time together will be worth it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Jessica Ray said modesty isn't about necessarily hiding our bodies. It is about that, but she's making a point. It's about revealing our dignity, our class. There was a time when women were more concerned about their self-respect and your respecting them and not looking on them as a piece of meat, but a woman who is trustworthy, a woman who had it going on, a woman who did not have a reputation. There was a time when you had a reputation of being easy. That was a bad thing. But as the Bible predicted, that which used to be bad, people are now calling good. Charles Spurgeon said, "There is little virtue in the beauty which calls attention to itself. Little virtue, and contrary to what women think, men don't think much of it. Men are more attractive, generally speaking, attracted rather to women who dress modestly. It's a beautiful thing." Charles Spurgeon said, "Modest beauty is the last to extol his own charms." Let God do it for you. In everything. Let God do it for you. Let God open up doors for you. You'll be amazed at what God will do and can do for you if you do it His way. So many women are doing it the world's way and trying to get it done. And it's so sad. How many people do you know, they try to get what they want through manipulation, through lying, through stealing? They just don't understand. I'm talking about people who claim to be Christians, claim to read the Bible every day, but they still live their lives manipulating and trying to control people and fool people and bamboozle people and lie and do it the world's way. And when it doesn't work, they're mad as the devil, mean as the devil, hateful, mad at you for no reason, because they refuse to do it God's way. May I lovingly encourage all of you listening to me tonight, I don't care what it is, do it God's way. It may take longer. The road might be harder, but God's way is the best way. And everybody who's been saved a while will tell you the same thing. Do it God's way. According to Fox News, on the newest episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, I don't know about you, I don't keep up with the Kardashians. I feel sorry for you if you do. But I do like Kim Kardashian. I do. She's not too far from the kingdom of God. And her husband, you can say what you will, is not too far from the kingdom of God. Pray for him. You don't know what God is doing. If you believe Bieber is saved, then Kanye might be saved too. But be that as it may, and here's a sign that Kanye might be saved, because this is what happens. It is certainly a sign that he's married, because this is what happens when you get married, see. He never thought this would be the case, but this is what happens. It was revealed that Kanye West was upset with his wife Kim over her skin-tight dress and dresses, particularly at the Met Gala. And then he says, like the corset underwear. Now he's talking like a saved man right there, see. He's talking like a man who something done happened to him. He is at least talking like a husband, see. And see, this is what messes people up in marriage. You get married thinking that everything's going to be the same as it was when you were dating. It doesn't work that way. No, he's not becoming possessive. He is a husband, looking out for his wife and his family. Watch what he says. First of all, he calls the corset underwear. All that vibe. You know, they talk a different language than we talk. Okay, so you got to keep up. Some of y'all you'll never know what they're talking about, but that's all right. I'm going to help you. I just feel like I just went through this transition of being a rapper and looking at all these girls. Kanye said to Kim back in a few months ago via People magazine, and then looking at my wife, notice those words, my wife. He's talking like a husband at least, and maybe a saved husband, only God knows. But that's how a husband talks. Now, you won't hear it out in the street. You're not going to hear that in New York Times and Mail Online. And, you know, you're not going to hear too much of that. But a real husband, a man who loves his wife, is going to check her when she's getting out of hand. You can like it. And by the way, some of you husbands who dare not say anything to your wife about how she dresses, what she does. Some of you henpecked husbands, you never say anything negative to your wife. Boy, listen to me. Give your wife a reason to tell her girlfriend, no, my husband ain't gonna let me do that. He don't play that. That's what she wants to say to her girlfriends, because her girlfriends say that to her. You know what she's saying? My husband cares about me. I don't like it, but I listen to him and listen to him, and I get mad, but I go ahead on and do what he says. My husband loves me. No, y'all go on. I can't do that because he ain't want to hear that. That's going to be a problem right there. Talking about going on a vacation down to St. Kitts, and I got kids. No, that's going to be a problem. Tell your wife something, man. Tell her. No, you ain't going out that door like that. That's going to be a problem now when you come back. You can't, no. Who are you dressing for? You shouting in church just yesterday on Sunday. Now you're going to work with a skirt all the way up your behind. Who, for what? When you sit down, they're going to see your drawers. So who are you dressing for? You're not dressing for me, because you're going out the door. Let her know your love by telling her the truth, man. That's what she wants you to do deep down. I'm not saying on the surface. She may pitch a fit. Oh, you old-fashioned. Oh, you jealous. Oh, you this, that. That'll talk, but you tell her what you need to tell her. And the authority that God has given to you, if you say it with authority, if you're scared, don't say it, man. You can't be like me. Don't say it. Don't. If you've been doing this game for 20 years, just be quiet. Go sit down and be your henpecked self. But Kanye is sounding like a husband. Sounded like something happened in his spirit as well. Oh, my girl needs to be just like these other girls, showing her body off, showing this, showing that. I didn't realize that was affecting my soul and my spirit as someone that's married and loved. The father of what's about to be four kids, man. A corset is a form of underwear, drawers. That's what we call them. Put some clothes on. Stop showing your drawers. And the truth of the matter is, you know, Kim is too old for that now. It's not working, if I may say. And let me just say something to you, some of the other women out here. Skinny jeans are for skinny women, not fat women. Stop pouring your... Stop doing it. One of the reasons why you ought to dress modestly is to stop showing all the lumps and every stretch marks and everything else you got. Hide all that. Cover all of that up. You'll be amazed at how many men will be attracted to you because you're dressing modestly. You're not dressing like the world, showing everything. Your crotch area and all of that. Are you kidding me? Come on, that's nasty, people. And we got Christian women doing that today. Got the jeans all pulled up, all tight in the private area and all this. That's just nasty. You trying to be nasty and in church. And by the way, there was a time. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. We're gonna pray in a minute. I'm not going to keep you long. We've been going since 5 o'clock this morning. So I'm not going to keep you long. But there was a time when there were church clothes and there were party clothes. I mean, street clothes, whatever. But since the pastors, bless their little hearts, since the pastors come to church in shorts and sandals and an Izod shirt, the women say, well, the heck with it. I might wear my skinny jeans and my yoga pants. He coming to church like he's going golfing or boating or whatever. The pastor. NBC, ABC, CBS. No. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. You better have a tie on and a shirt and a jacket. They're not representing God. They're just representing hell and the devil and sin and evil. But it's in their contract. You can't come here with some shorts on and eyes are. But we enter into the house of God. What is that about? So we got pastors who can't say anything. People trying to be sexy in the house of God. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Tell everybody I said it. It's ridiculous. And this is all in connection to your prayer life. Just like it's a man being angry and wrathful, full of wrath, can't pray. He has unholy hands. You can't pray and you got skinny jeans on, pulled all up tight on you where everybody can see everything. How do you know I don't have any underwear? Listen, just because people have got saved does not mean they've been saved all their life. They know what you got going. They can see. He continues, Kanye West, it's hot. It's like it's hot for who, though? See, now he's talking like a black man now. See, that's not only a Christian, not only a husband, but a black man. But who you dressing for? Who you trying to impress? Who you trying to be hot for? I'm your husband. You don't need to do that for me. The makeup and fashion mogul, Kim, she retaliated in her own defense, saying the night before the Met Gala, you're going to come in here and say you're not into the corset look. You're giving me really bad anxiety, she said. I don't need any more negative energy. Said like a boss wife. I don't need any negative. That's a nice way to say to Kanye, don't come trying to get close to me tonight now, because I don't need any more of this negative energy. You might want to sleep on the couch, on one of the 100 couches we have in this house. You better find one. You don't come in here talking to me now, because you want me to have a corset on when you come home. Why can't I wear it out here in the street? To that, Kanye replied, you are my wife. Now, he's sounding like a husband. At least, probably a Christian husband. He said this week that he got born again recently. You're my wife, and it affects me. He said, it affects me. And by the way, it affects every husband. And I feel sorry for these husbands who don't have the testicular fortitude like Conway to say something about it. Now, Kim is not going to change that, because Kim is making millions of dollars doing that. There's one publication that does a great job with the news. They have the Kim Kardashian, the Kardashian sisters in there every day. They make money by doing that. And I wish somebody would tell them and say, all right now, Kardashians, don't hurt them. Don't, can you give, how about Sunday? Give us Sunday where you don't show up. None of y'all and your babies. Just give the world a break of you. But Kanye said it affects me when pictures are too sexy. Now you're talking, Kanye. Something done happened to you. Not only are you a husband, but you might be a Christian husband. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in our last message in this series, and I have to close here shortly, we began looking at what this passage has to say about how women ought to dress, behave, and carry themselves, not only in church, but especially outside of the church. Not only in the house of God, but in every area of their Christian life. On the job, you're not to go to parties, bikini parties on the job, and go to parties where y'all are getting drunk and you dress all sexy and you claim to be a Christian. Everybody knows that you are a Christian. Since this passage's words and teaching on modesty are highly controversial in our modern society, let's look at some background information, if you will, from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. If you can't take it from me, take it from a theologian, Dr. Walford and Dr. Zuck. They say, next, Paul turned to the females after he had dealt with the men regarding praying in the congregation. For their adornment, they should not emphasize the external, but the internal. And by the way, that's what counts, my dear friend. Because you're going to get old and wrinkled. What men fall in love with is that trustworthy, cheerful, pleasant, loving, genuine, can count on, faithful inside. The woman who has her husband's back. That's what counts with any spouse. They should dress modestly, with decency and propriety. These terms stress not so much the absence of sexual suggestiveness, though it is included, but rather an appearance that is simple, moderate, judicious, and free from ostentation, showing off what God gave you. By the way, if you have a, as the world might call, a nice posterior, God gave it to you. If you are ample upstairs, God gave it to you. If you have a beautiful face, God gave it to you. If you have beautiful hair, God gave it to you. Stop showing off what was given to you. Be humble. Be modest. The specifics Paul mentioned, braided hair. Oh, here we go. That's what some of you braided hair women are saying right now. Oh, here we go. Oh, I'm so sick of this man. I'm telling you the truth. I didn't write this. I was not born when this was written. Braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, and people are like this even to this day more so. Young ladies got all kind of gold on, gold ring. I saw a woman the other day had rings on every finger. all kinds of gold earrings, gold ring in the nose, and will somebody tell Ezekiel Elliott to get that slave thing out of his nose? He looked like a ox, a black ox. And won't take it out. I mean, how can you play football with an ox thing in your nose? Tell, I said it. Don't tell them where I live at, because I couldn't beat them up. And I certainly could not run them. So don't tell them where I live at now, but tell them I said it, to take that little slave, little gold piece out of his nose. It's nasty. It's nasty. And we got women got things in their noses. Nobody, I don't, what are you thinking? Gold everywhere. These things are not wrong in themselves. Oh, some of you women say, oh, wow, okay, good. Whew. They're not wrong in themselves. There's nothing wrong with braiding hair. Some of y'all need to braid your hair because you don't have any hair. You pulled out your hair and burned out your hair trying to be like the white women. And, you know, fried your hair to death and pressed it to death. Look more like horse hair than anything that what God gave you. Now you know, put all kinds of chemicals. You know, burned your hair out. You need to braid your hair, but braid your hair. Don't braid the Indian sister's hair that you pay $200 for. Braid your hair and let it grow back. But these things become inappropriate when they indicate misplaced values. It's not about your hair. It's not about your gold and pearls. That's not what life is about, man. I took my baby son to a basketball court today, and I'm not as good as I used to be, and he was doing the best he could, and he did hit his first shot on the court today, but he didn't hit too many after that. But be that as it may, we had fun shooting the ball around, and I thought, no, I didn't raise my sons or my daughters to be successful in sports. I didn't do that. I wanted them to be successful in life. I raised them to be successful in life. And you can't be successful in life without God. My point is, too many people have misplaced values. They're focusing on the wrong thing. It's not about how well you can shoot a basketball or run a football, because that's going to end. Life will continue. Thank God for people like Emmett Smith, who understood that. And what a wonderful life he has. If he's not perfect, you know, they're not perfect. He and his beautiful wife, they're not perfect. But what a life, man. What a blessed life. He believes in setting goals. And one of his goals was to keep Jesus Christ first. Now, that's living, man. That's why he was playing football and breaking all those records. It wasn't football. It was putting Christ first and keeping Christ first. And that's what God wants you to focus on. See? And then he may open up the doors for you to do other things that you like to do. But you need to make sure you put first things first. And they go on to say in the Ephesian church, these styles may have been associated with the local temple prostitutes. Christians must be careful about letting a pagan culture set their fashions, as so many Christians have done. We have women who are in the church today who want to be preachers, who want to preach at men and at women. They're not satisfied preaching to women anymore. But they got tight jeans on. And listen to me. Most men are just not going to take you seriously, man, if we can see your behind. I'm just going to tell you to your face. Oh, you say you just an old lust hound. Well, listen, you can call me whatever you want to call me. Most men are attracted to a woman's backside and her legs. Not if you're fat. Excuse me. I know you don't like it, but you know, don't wear skinny jeans if you're fat. Now, you're not going to hear the truth like this anyplace else. I'm going to tell you the truth. But men are not going to take you seriously if you got a push-up bra on and you got some cleavage showing and you got some tight jeans on and you are fly, as they say, and you are looking very attractive, got your hair set right, got your face all made up, and got your gold on and your braids and everything else like that right there. They're not going to take you seriously. You need to go back to wearing a robe. Put a robe over all that. Maybe they'll take you seriously. But they and not only are they not going to take you seriously, they can't concentrate. I know we got these little metrosexuals. Like they lie and say they're not even, they don't look at women like that. They don't objectify women. No, it's not. Stop lying, man. A beautiful woman dressed just right is the most beautiful thing on God's green earth. And she needs to dress modestly. We need to know that she's trying to focus her attention on God, and she wants you to focus your attention on God. If you're strutting with some tight skinny jeans on across that pulpit, he ain't really thinking about Jesus. I don't care who he is. Two guys I know won't. But there's the rest of us, it's going to be a struggle. And you say, well, I don't understand. You know why? Because you're a woman. You're not going to understand that. That's why God addressed the men and then he addressed the women. To keep down mess in the church, he told women to dress modestly. He told men to stop being so angry and wrathful, so that you can pray and get your prayers through, so that you can be on praying ground. And the sad fact is, some of you women know exactly what you're doing. I know you don't like it. You say, I'll never listen to you again. That's all right, I got you tonight. Instead of stressing external beauty according to the world's standards, Christian women should manifest a different set of values. They should be concerned about not only their own soul, but the soul of others. How are you going to win somebody and you strutting your stuff just like they are? There's no difference. And they know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. This is why you turn around in the mirror like this. Okay, I know I'm right today. I got it going on today. I know he'll look at me today. And if you're doing that, whether you verbalize that or not, that's evil as hell. You're wrong. I know he'll look at me today. Look at that. Yes. And some of y'all went out and paid for the behind. Not only have you paid for these jeans for $150, you paid for the behind to put them in. You got a fake butt, fake breasts, just to get attention. And I call that silly-mindedness, and a waste of life, and a waste of money, and a waste of time. Because what you get them with, you're going to have to keep them with. And you Christian women, you know you can't have sex outside of marriage. You know that. So why are you doing it? You just love the attention. You love, you love that when the man said, look at that, girl, look. Look at you. Yeah, you like that, see? And you fall for it hook, line, and sinker. In the church. You like for that man's eyes to go up and down like that. They should adorn themselves with, literally, by means of good deeds. Are you a good person? Do you just look good? There are hundreds, thousands of women who look good, but they're not good, and they know it. I saw a show one time, a lady told the man she was going out on a date with, because he said, "Oh, honey, girl, you look good." She said, "Yeah, I know I look good, but I'm not good." Wouldn't it be wonderful for women to tell the truth that they're not good, that they're corrupt, they have a wicked, evil heart? I'm talking about some of you wives and mothers, where you're selfish, you're only concerned about yourself. You're not concerned about your husband or your children, and you're not even concerned about Jesus. It's all about you. Always talking about me time. I got to have my time. It's just so disgusting. And these young women today, and I hate to say it, these young women, when they have a baby, like they have done some great thing that women have not done since the beginning of history, and they talk about this. How they are working mothers, and that they have one baby, not realizing that back in the slave days they had 10 children, had them in the field and kept on getting up, had the baby picking tobacco. I recall a tennis player one time, the official called a foul against her, and she ran up to the official and said, "I just had a baby." I said, "Oh my soul, are you kidding me? I have a baby." People have lost their minds. There are women who have 10 children, and they've never said that in their lives. This culture that we have today among some women is all about you. And that's not how God wired you. And that's why you're going to be miserable all of your life if you don't repent and change and trust Christ as Savior and follow the Word of God and do it God's way. Not only that, follow your own instincts that God gave you. You know on the inside what God wants you to do. You know you're wrong when you put on those tight jeans and no panties and yoga pants, and you know what you're doing. If you're saved, you feel guilty. When a man come by and put his hand on you feel violated, you should. He shouldn't do that. But you are complicit. That's why you go home and you tell your girlfriend, "Well, I'm guilty too, because I should have never had those yoga pants on out there jiggling." And by the way, yoga is getting crazy. See, I told you, that's what happens. Some of you Christians out here talking about you doing yoga. It's getting crazy. It's not enough. I live in a quaint little, small, beautiful, mostly Christian town, and when I drive down the main highway, there's sexy yoga. Then they came out with goat yoga. Might as well call it Satan yoga. And today they got another yoga, I forget the name of it. Some of y'all might be able to help me. Another yoga done come out. Oh yeah, anger yoga. Angry yoga. Those who have anger issues. And this yoga, you get up and you cuss people out and you fuss and you hit the wall and you almost hurt people. It's getting out of hand. So you Christian young ladies need to take them yoga pants off. Get the goat off your back. You don't need the goat. Stop trying to be sexy in yoga and dress modestly and do it God's way. If you start doing it God's way and you want to get married, you get yourself together, I guarantee you God will have a Romeo to come by your way and sweep you off your feet. If you do it God's way. They should depend on their faithful service in the name of Christ to render them attractive to others. How many of you women know women who are ugly? They're beautiful on the outside, but they're ugly as sin. You can't stand being around them because they are evil as the devil. Always conniving. Always trying to manipulate people. Always trying to get in between people. Will even try to get in between you and your husband. They're ugly. They're hateful. They're mean. Later, made a movie one time called Mean Girls. That's a reality. They're women who are mean. They're sisters who are mean to one another. They're women in this world who will tell you to your face. They'll tell men and they'll tell women, I'd rather be around men. That's a fact. They're women, they will never say it to these little preacher women out here today. They're women who would rather, listen to me, they'll never say to them, because we're in the Me Too age, they'll rather be under a male pastor. They don't want a female pastor. Women. You know why? Because some of y'all are ugly on the inside, and your husband won't tell you, because he's scared of you. You done put that black girl magic on him. Which is no such thing, by the way. But they're freaked out about it. Ugly on the inside. Conniving, mean, manipulating, selfish, lying, neglect your own children just so that you can whore around and do your dirt. There are women who leave their child in the car and go have sex with a man in his apartment, and the child is burning up, and some have died. Because I need some me time. It's not only the Me Too movement time, it's the me time. It's all reflected and manifested in the way you dress. This was no plea for women to make themselves unattractive. No. Take care of yourself. You take care of yourself. I remember there was a tall, beautiful lady. She was older than me at the time. I was serving as a young interim pastor of a church. And I forget her name. I want to say Susan. But all of the older men were attracted to her, married men and everybody. And one day she told the church her secret to her beauty and her skin and all of that. And she said, water. Some of you women need to stop drinking Coke and Dr. Pepper and all that. Some of you women need to stop drinking alcohol altogether because it's you can't handle it. And it's aging you very fast. You need to drink more water. Water. Your skin will begin to glow. And stop eating a whole lot of meat. It's amazing the change. In just about 4 days, 5 days, your skin will begin to glow again. If you drink water, stop all those sugary drinks. Stop drinking all that coffee. Which is not coffee, it's candy. With a little coffee mixed in at Starbucks. And it's all about being healthy, not trying to make yourself look healthy, putting red on your face when if you drink some water and stop getting drunk and eat more vegetables and stop eating all that meat, the red will come back in your face. All that junk is blocking the blood from flowing to your face. By the way, someone mentioned last night the tragic death of this young lady. College educated in Fort Worth, Texas. I don't know what's going on in Texas. There's a devil loose in Texas. But somebody commented the woman was beautiful and she didn't have a lick of makeup on that picture. Beautiful. And the person was right. No. God does not want you to make yourself look unattractive. It was simply an exhortation to reject the world's yardstick for measuring beauty and adopt heaven's standard. The most beautiful women in the world are women who live pure lives, holy lives, humble lives. Listen to me carefully, man. The most attractive women in the world. Live pure, godly lives. Clean lives. Because if you out there whoring around and you out there getting drunk and partying, it's going to tell on you. It's going to tell on you. And the more Botox you can have to put in your face for your wedding. One should expect nothing less from women who profess to worship God. And I'm going to close with this. The blog Joyfully Keeping Home says this about shamefacedness. Daniel Ezekiel. There's an important word in 1 Timothy 2:9 that has pretty much fallen by the wayside in Christian parlance. The word, of course, is shamefacedness. Modern translations have used words like self-control, that's good, propriety, that's good, and discretion, that's good. Those are all good things, there's nothing more beautiful than a woman who has discretion, a woman who has discernment, a woman who has wisdom and knowledge and understanding and knows how to carry herself, knows what to say and not to say. These are the women who enjoy their lives. These are the women who get everything they want. And then some. These are the women. The husband just love them to. Oh yes. That man will move heaven and earth for that beautiful, wise woman of discretion who knows how to carry herself, who has enough wisdom to not try to embarrass her husband in front of her girlfriends or in front of his male friends, whoring around and showing her nakedness and so forth and embarrassing her husband. That's what Kanye is getting at. Hey, listen to me. There are some women in the world, man, who know how to flat do it. These are wise women who understand it only takes about an hour a day to take care of a man. About an hour. You take care of him sexually. Take care of him sexually. Not going to take you long. Give him a good meal. Have him squared away food wise. Make sure his children are loved and taken care of. And make sure he has a remote control in his hand. You got him. He'll give you the world. If you're not out there embarrassing him and lying on him, and so he'll give you the world. He'll move heaven and earth. You'll never have to worry about a house. You'll never have to worry about a car, your own car. You'll never have to worry about phones and bills. And all. He's going to look out for you, girl. You carry yourself like a virtuous woman, man. And there are few like that. So these are good words. But none of these words None of these words convey the actual meaning of the Greek word like the King James Version has it. This is because none of the words used by the modern translations get at the sense of deep humility. Deep humility. What's wrong with men and women today? They're proud as the devil. Some are pharaohistically, dangerously, terminally proud, and they will end up in hell. There are women who are proud, won't listen. Nobody can tell them anything. They think they know everything. Watch this. Humility. That should guide women in both their adornment and in their behavior. Looking to a dictionary, one will find these definitions associated with shamefacedness as well. Bashful, restrained by shame, firm in modesty. The idea is not that Christian women would always be somewhat ashamed of themselves. That's not what we're talking about. But that they would have a deep aversion to whatever God says brings shame. Whoring around, having a reputation as easy, that brings shame on you. That brings shame on people going to talk about you. Like people are committing, listen to me, young ladies are committing suicide because girls, mean girls, have told the whole school community that she's nothing but a whore. So-and-so had her. So-and-so had her. And I sick so-and-so on her as well. And you wonder why the people at school and the people at church don't respect you anymore. But she says, in closing, women, the problem we have with this is that we resent even the suggestion that we should be restrained by shame. The message we prefer is that we shouldn't be restrained at all by anything, not even God, not even our husbands, not by modesty, not by the roles God gave us that we have instincts to do, and not by anyone's expectations, including our husbands and our children. We see this everywhere. She said, look at the clothing marketed to young girls these days. And I hear it in the church. Young ladies are writing books with these titles. Watch this. You'll find hundreds of printed shirts with slogans such as, Girl Warrior. Gifted, intelligent, rebel, leader, superstar, spells girls, power to the girls, girl power, fierce. The last, honey, the last thing on earth you need to be is fierce. No man wants a fierce woman. All of this warfare talk. Girls run the world. If you have it, flaunt it. Run wild, girls. One girl called her, I just heard this recently, one girl just called her a stallion. I thought the men was the stallions. But she's a stallion now, doggone it. Wow. This girl has no limits. These are the things that are on girls' shirts today, on their book bags, on their backpacks, and their books published. With these titles. And I have kept you long enough tonight. But I was determined to get to that point. You say, are you finished your sermon? No. No, I have 5-6 more paragraphs. But by the grace of God, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, I'll pick it up next week. But right now, dear Christian friend, I'm going to give you an opportunity to confess your sins and repent. for those women who are under conviction, and some of you are, not because I preached it, because you already know you're wrong. You already know you're wrong. You're proud, you're stubborn, you're rebellious, you're disobedient, you're hateful, nobody can tell you anything, your father can't tell you anything, your pastor can't tell you anything, your husband can't tell you anything. You know everything. God! You won't even let God tell you. So, let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your holy word, whether people want to hear it or not. That's neither here nor there. They can continue in their sin and they can keep on getting what they're getting, which is misery and pain and hardship and confusion, failure, not getting what they want because they refuse to do it your way. That your holy word made plain, that their conscience know to be true, and not only that, you gave them the instincts to do it that way. So Holy Father God, your way, have mercy and grace upon us, male and female, because we have some men who dress immodestly as well, just as wicked as the women who do the same. And Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins, our failures and our faults, from the pulpit to the back pew. Wash and cleanse our hearts, minds, souls, and spirits and consciences in the blood of Christ. Lord, if one woman would repent tonight, if one man would repent as a Christian, Lord, it would be worth it all. And certainly, if one soul would repent and trust Christ as Savior, it would definitely be worth it all tonight. And we pray that that would happen. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you're with us on this Wednesday night, we've been here nearly 400 Wednesday nights in a row preaching on prayer. As one preacher said, you need to get on praying ground, and this is a way for you to get on praying ground. Men and women, you know how to do it now. And I'm not through. We're going to be here for a while, so don't you worry. But if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior tonight, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand that you are a sinner just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws. And so have I. We all have. From the Pope on down, the Dalai Lama admitted he sinned. We all have sinned. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have failed God. You need to admit that. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of sin. This is how serious this is. This is not a game, people. People are dying, and we're dying because of sin. Our bodies go to a grave. This is just this. If anything ought to frighten you in October, it ought to be that death. Death is no plaything, man. Serious. It's over. It's over. Once you die, it's over. Whatever you have done in this life, it is sealed. If you have never trusted Christ as Savior, you're going to hell, which leads me to my third point. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now as I speak. Instead of going to see the Joker to be scared, think about hell. You don't need to go see the Joker. You don't need to go see Pennyworth to get scared, man. Just think about hell, being in hell. Listen to me. Being in hell throughout eternity. You know what eternity is, man? It is forever and forever and ever, forever and ever. You can't get your head around that. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. I believe that Jesus Christ preached more on hell than most preachers living today. Why? Because he loves us and he does not want us to go to that awful place called hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You say, "Preacher, I hear you preaching on hell and preaching the gospel every night. Why don't you change it up and try to use some honey to attract somebody?" Well, number one, you listen to a political figure, presidential candidate, and they say the same thing every day. Every day you see them. Every time you see them, they say the same. They never change it. And I'm not going to change it either. Because you need to hear this right here. Hell is a very real place. And you're going there if you don't trust Christ as Savior. Hell is bad news. It is a place of torment. It is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, Jesus said. That's how bad sin is. Now, sin may not be bad to you, but it is terrible to God, because we are violating his law. And we know, even on earth, people who go to jail for years. A lady went to jail for 10 years for killing a man in his own house. Some people think she should have gotten 30 years or 99 years. On earth. Well, God is more righteous and more holy than we are. Some people get death. They have a death sentence. And they get executed on earth. So why is it difficult for you to believe that God has arranged things that if you don't trust Christ as Savior, if you don't go to the lawyer who's never lost a case, you're going to hell forever? So hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you tonight if you want to take it. And I have some good news tonight if you don't want to take it. John 3:16. Jesus Christ said himself, "For God so loved the world." In light of hell, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish where? Perish in hell forever, but have everlasting life. You will live forever somewhere, either heaven or hell. And I know you haven't heard it in other churches. That's okay. You're hearing it tonight. So just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God, Jesus, the saints and the angels, forever. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and you shall be saved. Pray and ask him to save you. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer right now. Follow me in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I understand that I deserve to go to hell. because I have broken your Ten Commandments. To name a few, I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have lusted after people and coveted after people and things before. I've dishonored my parents and disobeyed my parents. I have taken your holy name in vain. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins. Was buried and rose again. I believe with all of my heart he is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, including mine. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.